so that we walk in it, so that what we do is pleasing in your sight. And I pray, O Lord, that you not only give your servant the spirit of wisdom and revelation, give those who hear so that we understand who you are and walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Paul encouraged us, be the imitator of God. And first of all, I would like to explain what does it mean by be imitator of God. And be imitator of God in another writing, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, means offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And if we are willing to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to live for God, then you are the true imitators of God. Paul is the person, when he followed Jesus, he get all kinds of benefits, and then he tell other people to do the same. And he himself is the imitator of God. He himself, ever since in the book of Acts, chapter 9, he come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he followed Jesus Christ way away. And that's why God greatly used him, and used him mightily. And when he write the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, he warns the saint in the church of Ephesus. Ever since, in chapter 1, verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, ever since I heard about your love for all the saints, and Paul said that I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer. And he warned all his followers, be the imitators of God, offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said that be imitator of God, therefore as dearly loved children. I divide this sermon into three parts. Be imitator of God. This pleases the Lord. How come it can't? Okay, it come out. Be imitator of God. This pleases the Lord. So we cannot make it brighter, eh? No, I mean, okay. The main point number two, this is the will of God. The imitator of God not only pleases the Lord, and this is the will of God. And it is the Lord's will for us to be the imitator of God. I think it's not fully charged, right? And then the point number three, be imitator of God. This glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Three things. It pleases the Lord. It is the will of the, is this will of God for us to be imitator of God. Let me read that to you in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brother, in views of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices. Right beside to offer yourself as living sacrifices, you write down be imitator of God. Be imitator of God means to offer your body as living sacrifices. By doing so, it is holy and pleasing to God. And this is your spiritual act of worship. This is your reasonable act of service, reasonable act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test what God's will is. Not only you'll be able to test, you'll be able to approve what God's will is. You know the will of God. By being imitator to God, it pleases the Lord. You know what God's will is, and you find out that His will is good, His will is pleasing. Not only pleases the Lord, it pleases you. And that is a perfect will. So, how to be imitator of God? And I divide it into two parts. Because God is love, be imitator of God, so we want to show our love to the whole world. Because God is love. Part number two, how do we be imitator of God? Because God is light, so we live as children of light. Now I'll go back. How do I be imitator of God? In love, and then in light. That's what Paul say. First of all, in love. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitator of God, therefore as dearly loved children. You first of all has to taste the goodness of God. Taste the love of God yourself. And then you reflect His love through our word and through our deeds. If you never experience the love of God, you cannot be imitator of God of love, because God is love. Okay? Just as Christ loved us, Christ is the imitator of God. Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus Christ offered Himself as a burnt offering, total submit to God, and He offered His life and He died on the cross to redeem us and to save us. And then He asks us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. His sacrifice is a dead sacrifice. He wants you to offer a sacrifice as a living sacrifice. He died for you, and then He wants you to live for Him. That's the whole idea. If someone willing to die for you, and then he asks you to live for him, I think that's a very good deal. And that's why Paul said to us, how do we be the imitator of God? First of all, in love. As Christ loved us, gave Himself up for us as fragrant offering and as sacrifice to God, we need to follow the very footstep of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we all need to deny ourselves and take up our own cross and then follow Him in love. Love one another. The whole Bible talk about two things, if you sum it up. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, all your mind. Number one. That's the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your strength, all your wisdom, all your mind, and all your knowledge. Secondly, love one another as yourself. And so we need to be imitator of God because God is love. Now I want to talk about the second part. Be imitator of God because God is light. Oh, chapter 2, there, point number 2, God is light. Right beside God is light. You write down 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. And I think in order for us to truly understand what it means by God is light, you need to study the book from two persons. You need to study 1 John. You need to study Gospel of John, because Apostle John was taken up to heaven. He see that God is light. Same as Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Apostle Paul was taken up to the third heaven. He see that God is light. So we need to be imitator of God as the children of light. We were once darkness, but now, Paul said, you are light in the Lord. And live as a children of light. As a children of light, we all bear the fruit of the light. Actually, in original language, is we all need to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit. The fruit of the light or the fruit of the Holy Spirit consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. And for your own information, you know that Joy preaching about the book of Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what Paul say. This is all goodness and righteousness and truth. So in other words, as children of light, we got to bear this kind of fruit so that when people come to that tree, he can pick the fruit and eat it and enjoy it. In other words, if a non-Christian interact with a Christian, as long as that Christian is a children of light, he can interact with you and talk with you and deal with you, and he tastes the goodness of the Holy Spirit, and he tastes the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Make sure that when you interact with a non-Christian, he leaves a good taste in his mouth. Leave a good taste in his mouth. I want to go back to what Paul said. I read that to you. Chapter 5, verse 3. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. Paul say that this kind of stuff, immorality, impurity, greed, these are improper for God's holy people. They are out of place, even to talk about that. Foolish talk, coarse joking, obscenity are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. If you give thanks to the Lord, that means you experience his blessing in your heart. And very literally, you're going to say, thanks the Lord for all the goodness, all the good things that he has given us. Verse 5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, no impure, no greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Paul saying to us, if we do this kind of stuff, this letter is not writing it to the non-Christian. This letter was written to those people who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This letter, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, this letter was written to the faithful person in our Lord Jesus Christ, and so also to those who love one another. Okay? So they are the imitator of God in love and in light. So this letter was written to them. And Paul warned them, make sure that there's no immorality, no adultery, no impurity, no greed, no idolater, because if a person going back as a Gentile to do this kind of stuff, he will not enter the kingdom of God. Brother and sister, I just would like you to understand this kind of teaching is not only in the book of Ephesians. This kind of teaching is also to the church of Corinth. Do me a favor, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. I just read it to you so that you know this kind of teaching is not only to the church of Ephesians, also to the church of Corinth. Chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolater, nor adulterers, nor male prostitute, nor homosexual offender, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor slanderer, nor swindler will inherit the kingdom of God. This kind of warning is not to the non-Christian. This kind of warning is to the Christian that they have been saved. So don't go back to the old way. Go for a new way. Verse 11. And that is what some of you were. We were like that before we come to know Christ. It's okay, because God deal with that problem already. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So this teaching, not only to the church of Ephesus or to the church of Corinth, go back to Galatians chapter 5. This teaching also to the church of Galatians. I read that to you. Chapter 5, verse 19. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, those who do not live like an imitator of God, live life as dearly loved children. Live like a children of light. If you live like this, follow your own way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I give you one more so that it will impress your heart. The book that follows Ephesians is the book of Philippians. Turn to chapter 3, verse 17. Join with others in following my example. Because Paul followed the example of Jesus Christ, he be the imitator of God. He want all his followers to be the imitator of God. Join with others in following my example, brother, said by Paul. Take notes of those who live according to the pattern we give you. For as I have often told you before and now, say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. And their mind is on the earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, will transform, circle the word transform, our lowly body so that we will be like his glorious body. Circle the word transform. This transform is the last transformation. There are two kinds of transformation. One is now, right beside transformation. Number one is now. Number two is future. Future is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now is right now. We need to have two kinds of transformation. Transformation number one, you offer yourself as living sacrifice so that God can transform you. You don't offer yourself as a living sacrifice according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Your mind will not be transformed. Your spirit within yourself will not be transformed. God would like to transform you. You write that down. Now, it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. You write that down. Now, it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. Because God is going to transform you in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, is to do good work. We used to do wicked thing, immoral thing, impure thing, debauchery, adultery, adulterer. We love to do this kind of thing. We enjoy to live in sins. Because our mind wasn't transformed. Now we need to be transformed. We need to be recreated in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go back the old way. I give you a picture. You remember the people of Israel? They crossed the Red Sea. They baptized in the name of Moses. And then their mind wanted to go back to Egypt. You remember that? All these people go back to the old way. Do not want their mind, their body to be transformed. Now, all these people die in the wilderness. They cannot enter into the promised land. That's why Paul said, brother and sister, I not only tell you, tell those people in Corinth, in Galatia, in Ephesus, in Philippi. All those people follow the pattern of the people of Israel. Think about the Egypt way. they cannot enter the promised land. Even though they're baptized into Moses, even though we are baptized, we go back the old way, do not allow Jesus Christ to transform your life right now, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Everybody say? Does that make sense? Unfortunately, there are some pastors saying different things. That's why Paul go on saying, go back to Ephesians chapter 5. For of this was 5, we can be sure no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man, is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty word. Some people say, even some pastors say, even some elders say, no, don't worry. You are saved once, you are saved forever. You can keep on doing whatever you like to do. That is a liar. He's giving you empty word. He's not telling you the truth. Everybody say? Does it make sense? Okay. Now, do not let anyone deceive you. Okay? Verse 6 again. Let no one deceive you with empty word. If you let someone to deceive you, because God afraid that you're going to lose the salvation, for because of such thing, God's wrath come on those who are disobedient. Who are disobedient? Circle the word disobedient. They used to be obedient. Now they turn to be disobedient. And God's wrath come upon you. What's the reason why God's wrath come upon you? He's going to discipline you. He's going to make sure that your life, your mind be transformed, because he didn't want you to go to hell. Does that make sense? I think it makes very sense. I don't want any wrath from God. I want to come to Apostolic Bible Church. I want to make sure every one of us enter the kingdom of God, inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. Okay? When we are baptized in those days, when we are baptized into Moses, make sure they can cross the Red Sea safely. Make sure they can go to the wilderness. Make sure they can enter the promised land. In the same way, when you come to the church, make sure you can inherit the kingdom of God. No wrath from God. Make sure that, okay? Now, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, and live as children of light. That's the second point, being imitator of God, in light, because God is light. Now you are light in the Lord. You keep on following Jesus. You walk in the light. Right beside chapter 5, verse 8, 5:8. You write down Gospel of John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follow me will not walk in darkness, will become the light of life. Jesus spoke to his people. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follow me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Because Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he wants us to be the light of the world too. And that's why Paul said that you are the light in the Lord. In the Lord means if you follow Jesus all the way, Jesus is the light, and you are the light too. Now, is that Paul make up the story? Is that the true stuff? You write that down, Acts chapter 9. Okay? Paul, he himself was blind. He didn't even know. That's why Jesus Christ shined on him. And he was resurrected. His total life was changed. Ever since Acts chapter 9, the life of Paul was totally transformed. And he wants you to be transformed by Jesus Christ too. And that's why he say what he say. I read that to you. Chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light or the fruit of the Spirit consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. If you walk in the light, if you follow Jesus Christ all the way, you know what pleases the Lord because you hear his voice. Having nothing to do with the fruitless deed of darkness, but rather expose them. The NIV translation is called expose them. The original language is not expose. The original language is reveal them. Now I want you to understand. Some other translation, they call warn them. When you expose the sins of other people, there are two possibilities. Possibility number one, you write down King Saul. You expose his sin. He give you all kind of excuse, and King Paul go to hell. Number two, King David. When Samuel exposed the sins of King Saul give all kind of excuse. He did not confess his sins. He cover it up. He will never be prosperous. He cannot find the mercy of God, according to Proverbs chapter 28, 13. He who conceal his sins will not be prosperous. He who confesses it and renounces them will find mercy from God. But King David was exposed that he is the adulterer. He committed adultery. He killed people. He shed blood. And Nathan the prophet said to him, you are the wicked man. He didn't give any excuse. He said, you are right, I'm the wicked man. And he asked God for forgiveness. Nathan the prophet said to him, your sin will not lead you to death because you confess your sins. Brother and sister, when you expose someone's sin, when you rebuild someone's sin, when you warn someone's sin, there are two possibilities. One will stumble, one will rise up. Like a resurrection. And he become light. That's why King David become light. And he cried out to God in Psalm chapter 51. Make sure, do not take away my life. Do not take away the Holy Spirit you give it to me, just like you take away the Holy Spirit from King Saul. Because I will lead other people to Christ. I become light for you. Because when Jesus Christ shines on you, either you are dead or you are resurrected. When you are destined to go to hell, someone rebuild you, someone warn you, someone expose your sin, you stumble, you walk away. That means you are destined to go to hell. But when you turn around, you repent, that means you are destined for heaven. You can enter the kingdom of God. There are two ways you can choose. You either choose King Saul or you follow King David. Do I make myself clear? Okay. Now turn. That's why Paul said that. For it is shameful to mention what the disobedient do in secret. 13. But everything exposed by the light become visible. For it is light that make everything visible. That translation is wrong. I tell you what the true translation. When Jesus Christ shine on you, if you are King David, you become light. Because you're willing to be transformed by God, you become light. But if you are King Saul, Samuel say, you are wicked. Oh, he say, not me. The people of God, people of Israel like that. I do what they like. Give all kind of excuse. He conceal it. He cover it up. You know what King David say in Psalm 32 verse 1? Blessed is he whose sins are covered. Not by yourself, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, by your confession of your sin. If you don't confess your sin, you try to cover up yourself, you are destined to go to hell. Make sure when someone exposes your sin, he's the one who loves you. Make sure you turn to Jesus. Make sure you are transformed. When Jesus shines on you, then you either become light or you run away from the light. Either you follow the light, be the imitator of light, then your light will be transformed and you are truly the imitator of God. You are the children of light. In conclusion, what are the benefits do I get if I live a life of love, live as children of light? Number one, if you continue to live a life of love, live a life of light, you not only save yourself, you will save those who hear you. Okay? Number two, we will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We not only be able to enter the kingdom of God, we will receive a rich welcome. Because we don't enter the kingdom of God with an empty hand. We bear a lot of fruit. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the life. All goodness, righteousness, and truth. We won't be deceived by all these kind of people. Number three, we will definitely be able to enter the kingdom of God, for we do the will of God that pleases Him. Do you remember Matthew chapter 7, verse 21? Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, be able to enter the kingdom of God, but the one who do the will of the Father. You be imitator of God in love, be imitator of God in light, you doing the will of the Lord, for sure you can enter. You bear a lot of fruit. You lead a lot of people to Christ. Right? You don't come to the kingdom of God by yourself. You come with your father. You come with your sister. You come with all your buddy. Everybody say, amen. 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 Number four, what are the benefits? No more wrath, but favor from God and blessing from God. Our Heavenly Father, we have heard what you have said to us loud and clear. Help us to make up our mind according to Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. It is God who is at work in us to will and to act according to His good purpose, according to His good will, according to the way that pleases you. If what we do pleases you, I pray that you hear our prayer. If what we do is do the will of the Lord, make sure that we can enter the kingdom of God with rich blessing. No more wrath, but favor and blessing before all those righteous people. Hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy, and I pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.